Hello, it's a privilege to bring a message to you today, and I've entitled it Jesus Qualifies the Disqualified. In AD 269, a young priest was executed in Rome, clubbed to death by Roman soldiers on the instructions of an emperor nicknamed Claudius the Cruel, aptly named, because he continued to involve himself in unnecessary wars. He just could not stop himself from picking fights. And as a result, he ran out of soldiers who were not signing up for the armies. So he cancelled all engagements and marriages were abolished because he thought soldiers were not signing up because they were married, wanted to stay at home, etc. And so hearts were broken as couples found that they could no longer tie the knot, until a Christian priest stepped up and said, we'll keep on with the marriages and we'll do them in secret. And this self-sacrificing commitment to love is legendary, not only in Rome, but right around the world. And still today, on this special day, Valentine's Day, his name, of course, was Valentine. Of course, in all of these celebrations that we have during during a year, many find themselves being in a painful situation. There are hearts that have been broken, for example, jilted. People are lonely today and they have no Valentine. So many people have lived their life with the words, you aren't good enough, hanging over them. One click on social media and we realize there are more beautiful people than us, more likable than us, more importantly, more qualified than us to be somebody special. Everyone else seems to be qualified to have that special moment, that romance, that dream job, the adventurous holiday, the big house. How do they do it? What's wrong with me? In the first century, Christians at Colossae were under threat from false teachers who said, you just don't have enough. You say you've got Jesus and salvation, but you really need to live a religious life also. You need to be doing some duties also. And they were confused as to whether their salvation experience was enough. Were they really true disciples of Jesus? Well, Paul writes to them and says, he, Jesus, has qualified you. He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Colossians 1 verse 12. He has qualified you to be and to do and to have and to experience him. The gospel has our own Valentine story, and his name is Jesus. And whether you are single, whether you are in pain today, or whether you have a Valentine, each and every one of us needs to understand that he has qualified us as his Valentine, as his love story, that we belong to him. There's a beautiful song by Hillsong called Valentine. And the words are beautiful. From your sacrifice for the sake of all, redemption's birth and relentless hope. As the weight of grace crushed the face of love, and you bled and died for your enemies. To woo us back from death and woe, a Valentine to a faithless world. Every wayward heart, you pursue us all, and in kindness call us home. Your agape love displaces fear, and the plan is working heavens near. For the kingdom comes to the heart that whispers, have mercy, God, on me. This world is yours. My God, this world is yours. All you made to be yours. I know you love us all. God says yes to you. He has given all you need to follow him. He gives you his presence. He bridges the distance between himself and you. He untangles your mess. He restores and revives you to go again. He cleans your life and he chooses you every day, choosing you to follow him. Graciously and mercifully calling you to follow him. The battle for discipleship will always be focused around qualification. And you, my friends, are his Valentine. Now let me ask you to turn to the passage that we're going to look at today in Mark's Gospel chapter 5. Mark's Gospel chapter 5 verse 2. Mark's Gospel chapter 5 verse 2 says these words. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. There are times to teach from the boat, times to journey on the boat, and of course to fish from the boat. But there are definite times to get out of it. And Mark focuses on a man who would be going into 10 cities called the Decapolis as an evangelist after he met with Jesus. One life can be changed by Jesus, who can then transform a region. Well, who is this man? This man has an impure spirit. He is demon possessed, and he came to Jesus from the tombs. This man was, in every sense of the word, disqualified. Let me say these three things to you. Your Valentine steps into your pain. Your Valentine disturbs others so that you can be dressed. Thirdly, your Valentine wants you to influence. Your Valentine steps into your pain. In verse 6, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. "I know who you are," they said his name, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God." But it was an attack, not a confession of worship. Superstition said that if you knew the precise name and identity of your enemy, then you had control over them. But knowledge is not power over Jesus. Knowledge is not power over you either. It matters not what your enemy knows about you, or your name, or what you have done, or what you have become. You are his Valentine and you are qualified, and that knowledge does not disqualify you. "I know who you are." Jesus asked them for their name. He did it to reveal the full extent of the damage that they had inflicted upon this man. "We are many," is what they cried. They are trying to intimidate Jesus. "We are more than you. We are organized against you, and we have a plan." Jesus could have demanded for each of the demons' names to demonstrate his power and to go along with the superstition, but he doesn't need to know the names. When your name is the name above all names, it matters not who you are facing. This superior being, Jesus, the name above all names, is holding your name in the palm of his hand also. I know who you are. And he sends the demons into the pigs and a business is destroyed. The population was a mixture of Jew and Gentile, and the pigs were obviously belonging to a Gentile farmer. The pigs were an expensive commodity. Whatever you think of in terms of possession, this is what went to the bottom of the lake on that day. Jesus was showing that he knew who the man was. Jesus had more compassion for him than the pigs. Don't focus on what is lost. Focus on what has been found. It's not fair, should be said, towards the man, not the business. Jesus knew where the true treasure was, and it wasn't at the bottom of the lake, but it was with the man kneeling before him. Secondly, your Valentine disturbs others so that you can be dressed. Mark 5, again, verse 14. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. What will you do once a miracle has happened? Well, look at the verses. Those who had lost what they were responsible for immediately reported it to as many people as possible. We have lost every pig and it wasn't our fault. That was their cry. Those who had seen it told their eyewitness stories, and they were popular for a while. And those people of the town who had come out to see the miracle closed it all down. The show was over. This was not going to happen again. Not here. It was their decision, and one that Jesus would agree to. He still does if you try shut him down. But there is a word within these verses that stand out to us today. Dressed. The disturbed, disqualified, naked man now has clothes on. He is dressed for the first time in a long time. He was naked because of his possessed life. It was a consequence of his bigger problem. The town, in all their different responses, saw this man dressed in a way that they hadn't seen before. Where did he get these clothes from? More importantly, who got him the clothes? I can only think Jesus, on setting the man free, then insisted that he was provided for in the way of clothes. Maybe the disciples were sent into the town to buy clothes. However it happened, he was provided for. And here is the partnership of the divine and humanity. If the man had only received clothing and no miracle, then they would have become rags soon enough. But there was a combination. Your Valentine disturbs others so that you can be dressed. Thirdly, your Valentine wants you to be an influencer. In verse 18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him. He said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. The disturbed man had a normal life, but all that had been lost because of the life he had lived and what had happened to him. He had a home, but he had made the tombs his home. He had a family, but he was on the mountainside alone. Other gospel writers say he was with another similar man also. Who knows, there could have been more than two in the tombs that they called home. But Jesus would not let the man go with them. You see, there was more than one broken man here. There was a broken home and a broken family. Jesus healed the man, but the man was responsible to go and heal those who loved him or who had become afraid of him and distant from him. Some of the followers of Jesus need to go back, not go forward. May our homes of desperation be turned to joy and sorrow into dancing. Let the stories of mercy resound within our families. The disqualified are now qualified, and they are returning home. May God bless you today.